Well, good morning and happy Resurrection Day. We invite you to stand with us as we get ready to give God praise this morning. I don't know about you, but I woke up so grateful and so thankful for the price that Christ paid on that cross for me. So today I have come in purpose in my heart to give him my praise, give him everything I have, because he is worthy. If you agree, somebody shout out hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord.
Just let it go this morning. Just clap and just raise your hands and sing with us.
Give you praise in this moment. God, we lift up a shout of praise before you, for this day is truly glorious. It's the day our freedom was won. Come on and sing along.
I needed rescue.
I needed rescue.
My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing.
along with me. Song is called Forever by Carrie Jo. Sing along with me. I know you've all heard it. We sing hallelujah together. Here we go. Here we go. We sing hallelujah. Sing it out.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Come on.
We sing hallelujah.
Sing it all.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Resurrection morning to all of you. I love what we're singing because, you know, the story of Jesus started. We always find Christmas to be such an important day that we come and we worship God, we honor God for the gift of Jesus. But that was the beginning. And the resurrection day is the culmination of everything he came to do. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. We have one more song we're going to sing. We're going to worship together. But we'd just like to take a moment. If anybody is here today, maybe even for the first time, but you need prayer, our prayer team are going to come to stand along the front here. Just feel free during this last song to just slip out of your seat, come forward. You can just talk to them privately. They'll pray with you and believe God, because there's something that is available to us because of Easter, because of resurrection morning, and that is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is life-changing, it is body healing, it is mind setting free, right? It's deliverance in every area of your life. God wants to help you in anything that you face. So at this time of the service, just slip out of your seat if you need prayer. Come forward. Our prayer team are here to pray for you. And we're not going to take a long time talking right now. We're going to give you some testimonies next week. I want to pray for those that are watching online. Welcome to our service today. Father, I thank you that there's no distance in prayer. I just release your healing power to flow right into the homes of those that are watching. Father, those that are sick in their body, thank you for healing and raising them up. Thank you for defying what the doctors have. The report of the doctors, and we believe the report of the Lord over their life. We thank you for freedom in every area in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have one more worship song. If you're not coming forward for prayer, just turn your focus on him. You know, I was thinking about it. I've had 30 resurrection mornings since I got saved. 30. There's only probably, if I live a long time, 60 in my lifetime. I don't want to waste one. I want to give thanks to God for everything he's done. Amen. Amen.
Put death to death. This is his home, here in our chest, at every door our Savior's knocking. Oh, let him in, oh, oh, let him out. With every yes, his kingdom's coming. The sound of every saint rejoicing. Oh, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory.
Behold him, behold him. Pour out your praise, sing the name of him.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna. Pour out your praise, sing the name of
Jesus.
Oh,
let us behold him.
Behold.
There's power in that name. Oh, we sing, we sing, we sing. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, we sing Jesus.
Oh, we're gonna get louder.
feel the atmosphere change.
Jesus.
There's so much power in that name. Come on.
Jesus.
The wonder-working power.
Jesus.
I'll never stop singing the name of
Jesus.
It's why we're here. It's why we came.
Oh,
the only perfect man. In this place. Somebody worship Jesus in this place. You know, we can seek all kinds of help, things that we think will solve our situation, things we think will fix what we need. We overthink. But I'm here to tell you that the cross is still the answer. And better yet, the blood that was shed is still the blood. Same power, same glory. Come on, somebody in this place. So we sing, the cross is still the answer. And the blood is still the blood. Come on, testify it this morning. The cross is still the answer. And the blood is still the blood. Oh, we declare the cross is still the answer. It'll always be, it'll always stand, yeah.
And the blood is still the blood.
The power in the blood.
The cross is still the answer.
Oh,
and the blood is still the blood.
Come on, somebody, sing this over your families. Sing this over your situation.
The cross is still the answer.
That's what we seek. That's where we go.
And the blood is still the blood.
Still under working power.
The cross is still the answer.
Sing this over the nation.
Still
we don't need politics. No, come on, the cross.
The cross is still the answer.
Whoa.
And the blood is still the blood.
We declare,
the cross is still the answer. And the blood is still.
If you know this in your heart and you've received Jesus Christ, I want you to give a shout of praise because we know, we know, we know. Hallelujah, we know. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. This isn't a checkbox. This isn't just a check mark for the year on Easter. God, we serve you, we love you, we glorify you, and we bless your holy name. Somebody get excited.
Easter sermon right there. And to those of you who said, our worship at our church is really loud, we added a line that says we're going to get louder. So either wear your earplugs or get with the program, right? Praise God. Well, welcome to church this morning. Thank you for joining us on this resurrection morning. Won't you just turn and greet somebody? Tell them how glad you are to see them, and you may be seated. And every one of you to Ascend Church this morning. I want to welcome those that are watching online. So glad you joining us this morning. The people watching from around the world and our Ascend Church members, we understand if you're staying away for health reasons, we understand that. But if you're staying away for any other reason, come on back. We miss you and we can't wait to see you again. And I'm thankful to be in church this morning. Amen. I'm so thankful. I want to welcome first-time visitors to church this morning. I've seen a lot of new faces, and perhaps you've come with family, or perhaps you just were looking for a church to go to celebrate Easter this morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? We love having visitors. I'm not just saying that. We honestly do. And if you're here for the first time, we'd like to just honor you. Don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we'd like to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anybody here for the first time, God bless you. Keep it up until an usher sees you. Thank you so much. Pastor's waving his hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Keep it up. They'll get to you up front here. Thank you so much. We just like to get that visitor pack to you. Thank you so much. There's more up front. Moises, up front here as well, second row. Thank you, Aaron. Praise God. Well, you look good this morning. Anyone would think it was a special occasion, right? Well, visitors, I just want to say that in that visitor pack's a couple of things, maybe a little Easter surprise, but there's a guest card, and we ask you just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. If you drop that guest card in, it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service, and stick around afterwards. We'd love to meet you. Just say hi. So thank you for doing that this morning. I want to say to those that are watching, go ahead and check in wherever you are. There's for those of you sitting here, we're going to pass a clipboard along, and it's a register. It helps us. The Bible says you should know the state of your flock, and it's good for us as pastors to know who was here. We know somebody was in hospital this week, and we didn't know about it, and so it's important for us to know. So thank you for doing that and filling out your info so that we are able to reach you. If you want to be on our text list, you just text the word ASCEND to 313131. And then also just the different ways that you can watch. Very popular is the Facebook Live, sometimes unreliable too. So if there's ever an issue with Facebook Live or you don't want to use that, you can go to Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. You can go to our app. There's a little barcode on your seat. You can scan it. It'll take you right to our website. You can download our app. There's archived messages. You're able to share things. You're able to send them. So there's various ways to watch. And thank you to those that are watching. Just get comfortable right where you are in your seat. Grab your Bible. We're going to hear the Word of God in a big way today. We're going to be partaking of communion together. So if you do not have a communion cup, won't you just wave your hand right now? We want to do this quickly. Anyone that doesn't have, everybody got them. Well done to all the ushers. getting that done. Now, on the top, it's you peel back, there's bread. And if you open the cup, there's juice. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians. We are remembering the price that Jesus paid. We are remembering what took place on this weekend. Today's a happy day, but Good Friday was not so good to the disciples, was not so good to Jesus' mother Mary, was not so good for Jesus. But on Sunday morning, we're rejoicing. But I want us to remember the price that was paid. Amen. And this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11. He said this. He said, I've handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and he gave thanks. And then he distributed it to his disciples and said, take, eat, and eat your fill. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. So I want us to take that bread right now. And just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, we remember your body given for us. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for dying in my place. Let's eat that bread. Verse 25 says, he did the same with a cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it. And whenever you drink it, do this to remember me. We remember him today. We remember that there's a new covenant. There's an old covenant, but thank God there's a new covenant that we're a part of. And he said it is his blood that settles. So that means that what a covenant is a contract. Which he says that there is a contract between God and man, and Jesus sealed it in his blood. That means whatever God promised you, it is sealed, it is signed with the blood of Jesus. That means it belongs to you. That means nothing can stand in your way. Amen. So we thank God for the blood of Jesus. It says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink that cup together. Blood is still the blood. Amen. We're going to collect those. We'll pass them along. Or the ushers will pass along and we'll drop those in. Praise God. I was going to do the giving. Happy birthday for yesterday. Chris Birch. Look at him sitting in church this morning. He had surgery on Monday. And he had major surgery on Monday. Right, Chris? And the doctors gave you a very good report after that surgery, didn't they? When Chris came forward, Tom had tears in his eyes when he told us this morning. Chris came forward for prayer last week. He was going for major surgery to remove cancer from his liver. And that, you know, the doctors don't know until they open you up as to what they're dealing with. And he came forward for prayer, and they believed and trusted God. And on Monday when he went in, he said the doctor gave him an excellent report, said there's no more cancer, no chemotherapy. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to live a long, healthy life, Chris Birch. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
Praise God, Chris. Great job. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Tell your neighbor it's great to see you in church today. I want to say to the worship team and the singers and the musicians, you did a wonderful job today. Great job today. Give them a big round of applause. They did a great job today. I love that song, man. Been waiting to do it. It's called The Son of Heaven. That last song we did, I've been waiting for like 2 months to do that song. Finally caught up to me. It's all Brandon Lake songs, man. That's what I listen to so much right now, Son of Heaven. Well, praise God. Today is Happy Resurrection Day. It's the day that we remember Jesus being raised from the dead. Isn't that right? And I want to share. Are you ready for God's Word this morning? So great to see a number of new guests here today, and we welcome you. I hope you feel welcome. We're all glad you're here today. And I'd love to meet you after the service. My wife and I will be in the lobby. We'd love to meet you if you can. That would be great. Praise the Lord. One last thing I want to mention is if you're on, this is the last time I want you to look at your phone today, okay? This is the last time. Don't look at your phone after this. But if you're on Facebook, what I want you to do is share the live stream. Our live stream, it's on Ascend Church. Our page on Facebook is called Ascend Church Jupiter. And if you go and share the live stream, I'd love to see more shares today than we've seen ever before. What do you say? Because when you share the live stream, you never know which of your friends are going to be watching this. You never know who's going to watch it. Amen? Let's take full use of technology. You can watch our service on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch it on our mobile app. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on Facebook. And, of course, Sunday mornings, we're on Fox at 7:30 a.m. Let's pray and get into God's Word today. Father, we thank you for today, Resurrection Day. We thank you for Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is alive, and because he is alive, we have life. Because he is alive, we are forgiven. We are made brand new creations, Lord. We thank you today for Jesus, Lord, as I declare your word today, I'm trusting that you will help me, Lord, that you will speak through me. I pray that people will see Jesus and hear Jesus today and not see me and hear me, but they will hear you, Lord. And I give you all the praise for everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout out amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter. So glad you're watching this today. I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people. They'll make you feel so at home, and your kids will have fun at our Ascend Kids Church. We hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Yeah. Amen. Now, today being Easter Sunday, I'm speaking about the power of his resurrection, the power of Jesus' resurrection. And the Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3, verse 10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It seems like many Christians do not know the power of his resurrection, because if they did, they wouldn't be afraid of anything. We got to know the power of his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the greatest event in human history. Do you know that? The greatest event in all of human history was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christianity did not start with a book. It started with an amazing event, the greatest event in history. The foundation of our faith is not the Bible. It's an event, the resurrection. Do you know that people became Christians for 250 years before we had the New Testament? The foundation for faith in the first century was the resurrection of Jesus. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, the Bible tells us, if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, let me tell you, we're wasting our time here. Our preaching is for nothing. But thank God he has been raised from the dead. It was the resurrection that changed the disciples' lives. Let me tell you, after Jesus was crucified, all of the disciples ran and they hid away. But when they saw the risen Lord, they knew that everything Jesus had said and everything Jesus had done proved that he was God in the flesh. And let me tell you, there's no other religious leader that has died in full view of trained executioners had a guarded tomb, and then rose 3 days later and appeared to more than 500 people. Nobody else has done that. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Confucius didn't rise from the dead. Krishna didn't rise from the dead. Only Jesus has risen from the dead, walked on water, claimed to be God, and raised others from the dead. Amen? Only Jesus has conquered death. Only in Christianity do we have the person of Jesus Christ, who claimed to be God, performed many miracles to prove his claim of divinity, claimed that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but by him, and then died and rose again from the dead. Let me tell you, the proof of Jesus' resurrection is that all but one of the disciples were martyred. All the disciples except for the Apostle John were martyred. Why would they have died for a lie? According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the most successful trial attorney in the history of the world was a man named Sir Lionel Lacko from Guyana. And he won 245 consecutive murder acquittals. He was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth of England. He served as a judge, a diplomat, and a mayor. And he was a world-class expert on what constitutes reliable, persuasive, and legally admissible evidence. And he took the time to apply his legal expertise to whether the resurrection stands up to the test of legal evidence. And he concluded, he said this, "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt." That was the most successful trial attorney in the history of the world, that he looked at the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, and he has no doubt. He did the most logical thing in the world, Sir Lionel Lacko. He gave his life to Christ, and he said he found real peace and happiness and joy that he never had found before. Let me tell you, what makes Jesus' resurrection so significant to us today? The scripture says in Revelation 1 verse 5, Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Now, what does that mean? Because Jesus was not the first person to be raised from the dead physically. Jesus was not the first one to come back from the dead physically. In the Bible, Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son from the dead in 1 Kings 17. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Jesus stopped a funeral procession one time and raised the widow's son from the dead. He stopped the funeral and raised the boy from the young man from the dead. He also raised Jairus' daughter from the dead in Mark chapter 5. He also raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And then Peter the apostle raised Tabitha from the dead in Acts chapter 9. Paul raised a man from the dead who fell asleep in church and fell out of the third story window to his death in Acts chapter 20. Paul went and laid on him and he came back to life. Now, I preached a long time, but I haven't never preached anyone to death yet. So why does the Bible call Jesus the firstborn from the dead? Because there were other people before Jesus that came back from the dead, because it's not talking about just physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Jesus was the first one to come from spiritual death and separation from God to come back into fellowship with God. Well, you see, when God created us at the beginning in Genesis, the Bible says he created us in his image and his likeness, and he breathed his own life into man. In Genesis 2 verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God gave man authority over all the earth. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." In fact, the Amplified Bible says, "Let them have complete authority." And the New Living Translation says, "They will reign over." And the Easy to Read Version says, "They will rule over." You see, man was created to be like God, to rule on the earth, to have authority. Everything on the earth was created for man's enjoyment. Do you know that? God brought the animals to Adam to see what Adam would name them. God created a paradise for them called Eden, the Garden of Eden. They lived in perfect happiness. There was nothing destructive there. There was no sickness, no fear, no violence, no lack, no hurricanes, no death. And God would come down in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, and he would fellowship with Adam and Eve. See, because God made us for a relationship. God made us to love, that we would love him and that he would love us. He made us for a relationship. In fact, David was so amazed by how important we are to God that David wrote in Psalm 8, verse 3, "When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them and human beings that you care for them?" David was saying, "Lord, why are we so important to you? Why are you so interested in us? You made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor, and you gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under the authority." You see, do you know that you are the most important to God out of all that he created? You are the most important thing. God made all of this world for you and I. God told Adam everything on the earth was his, he could enjoy. But to show that he honored God, God said he must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that he ate that tree, he would die. In Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." In fact, the Message Bible says the moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. Now, we know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But do you know that Adam did not die physically on the day that he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He didn't die physically. He lived another 930 years after that. So does that mean the Bible is not accurate? No, because the literal Hebrew says, "Dying, you shall die." You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. And spiritual death resulted. The consequence of spiritual death was it brought physical death. Spiritual death means to be separated from God, because he is the source of all life. And if you are separated from God, you are dead. You might be breathing, but you're dead. Because God is the source of life, and sin separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says it is your sins that separate you from your God. See, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were separated from God. They lost the life of God that was within them. Their sin brought a curse upon the earth. In Romans 8, verse 20, it says, "Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse." There was a curse that came on the earth when Adam and Eve sinned. Before they sinned, there were no weeds. They had no weeds in the garden. Now, all of a sudden, man, those weeds. How many of you know those weeds, man? I don't even try and grow weeds. They just grow by themselves. I've got to pull them out of my garden. That's a curse. The curse brought death. It brought sickness. It brought poverty. Every other negative thing. And Adam gives the authority that God had given to him. He gives that authority to the devil. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Do you know that if you don't believe in Jesus, your mind is blind? Your eyes, you're blinded if you don't believe in Jesus. 1 John 5 verse 19 says, "We know that we are children of God, and that that all of the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and Satan's control." If you wondered why the world is in the mess that it's in, it's because the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, God with a little g, because he got that authority from Adam when Adam and Eve sinned. God didn't create this world for Satan to be the god of the world, but Satan got that authority from Adam. That's why when the devil appeared to Jesus to tempt him in Luke chapter 4, it says the devil took him up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." When did it get delivered to him? When Adam and Eve sinned back in the Garden of Eden, that authority God gave them, they surrendered it to the devil. And that's why he's now controlling the world. And that's why he said now this, all the kingdoms of the world have been delivered to me. And he said to Jesus, I'll give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. You see, Satan got that authority from Adam. Adam's sin spread to everybody. Every person born on the earth is infected now with the sin of Adam. In Romans 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. This death, this spiritual death being separated from God, the Bible says it spread to everybody. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. The Bible says we were spiritually dead. I used to be dead spiritually. I was separated from God. But when I received Jesus in my life, I became alive spiritually. I became back into fellowship with God. You see, God loves people, but he hates sin. Just like if someone you love has cancer, you love them, but you hate the cancer because it's destroying your loved one. Let me tell you, can you understand why God hates sin so much? Because God loves you so much. But thank God, God had a plan to redeem us. He had a plan to save us. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. God had a plan from the very beginning of how he would bring us into his very own family. God declared his plan for the first time way back in Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve had sinned. And God spoke to the serpent in verse 14. He said, because you've done this, you curse more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God said, I'm going to put enmity between her seed and your seed. He's going to bruise your head. Another translation says he's going to crush your head. Now, God is announcing that a Savior is coming, and it'll come from the seed of woman. How many of you know that women don't have seed? Men have the seed. They're trying to redefine what genders are in the world today. It's very easy to tell a man, a boy and a girl. Very easy. I didn't even finish high school, and I know that. Women don't have seed. So God is prophesying that someone's going to come not of the seed of a man. He's prophesying the virgin birth. He's prophesying Jesus coming to the earth. And he'll put Satan under his feet. God's got a salvation plan already set in place. The Bible says in Revelation 13 verse 8 that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was already, he'd already agreed to come to the earth and give his life before the world was even created. You see, God planned this when he created the world. Jesus would come and redeem and save us from our sins and bring us back into fellowship, back into God's family, and restore the authority that man had lost. By offering, Jesus would do this by offering himself as our sacrifice. He came to pay the price for our sin, to set us free from that curse. Galatians 3 verse 13 says, Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. You see, why is it that God had to come himself to the earth in order to save us? Because Romans 3 verse 23 says, everybody has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The reason that only God could save us from our sin is because every human being born on the earth is born with this sin nature. Only God himself, who is without sin, could come to the earth to redeem us and save us from our sins. That's why John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God sent his son Jesus to the earth for the sole purpose of taking our sin by dying for us on that cross, that he would be our substitute. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it says, "The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, he became a life-giving spirit." Adam, the first man, was born from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Romans 5:18 says, "Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone." Let me tell you right now, the devil, he's looking out for the Savior. When God said to him, "Her seed is going to crush your head," let me tell you, Satan's looking out for that Savior from the beginning. Satan has tried to destroy the chosen line of the Messiah, because if the chosen line was destroyed, then God's plan could be stopped. And Satan has persisted in this from the beginning. Right from the beginning, Satan inspires Cain, the first son born to Adam and Eve, to kill his brother Abel. And throughout history, the serpent has continued his attempt to destroy the Messiah. Every time God would raise up a prophet or a king, Satan thought, "This could be the one. This could be the Messiah. This could be the deliverer come to crush my head." And he would try and destroy them. I mean, the devil would inspire someone to kill the prophet. When Moses was born, Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill all the Hebrew baby boys. When King Herod did the same thing, when he heard that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem, what did he do? He had all the little baby boys killed. Why? Because Satan was afraid of the Messiah. He was trying to stop God's plan. But thank God he couldn't do it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "So when Jesus the Messiah came into the world, he said, 'Since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you clothed me with a body that I may offer myself instead.'" In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Are you still with me this morning? Philippians chapter 2 says, "Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave, and he appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, Jesus was God in human flesh. This is what separates Christianity from every other religion. Jesus was not just a good man. He was God in human flesh. God himself who came to the earth to redeem us. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. He left heaven to come to the earth as a man, to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins to redeem us. On the cross, Jesus separated you from your sin. He took your sins upon himself. A divine transfer took place. In fact, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in John 1:29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John declared who he was. He's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. That's why in the Old Testament, when they sinned, God told them to sacrifice a lamb. And the lamb had to be without spot or blemish, because it was a type of Jesus, the true Lamb of God, who will be sinless, who will come as our Savior, as our substitute. And in the Old Testament, they would lay hands on the lamb, and their sins will be transferred into the innocent lamb. and the Lamb's goodness and righteousness would be transferred into them. In Leviticus 1 verse 4, it says the person bringing it is to lay his hand upon its head, and then it becomes his substitute. The death of the animal will be accepted by God instead of the death of the man who brings it as the penalty for his sins. You see, the Old Testament people had to do this every year. Every year they had to sacrifice another lamb. But Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to the earth, and he was sacrificed as the final sacrifice to end all sacrifices. In Hebrews 9, verse 11, it says, Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, Jesus went into the heavenly sanctuary with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all. He secured our redemption forever. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once and for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove our sin by his death as a sacrifice. Amen. Let me tell you, God sent Jesus to the earth for the sole purpose of becoming the final sacrificial lamb who would remove and take away our sins. And when you put your trust in Jesus, God takes all of your sins and he puts them all on Jesus. Jesus paid the price for all of our sin. The punishment that was supposed to fall on us instead fell on him at the cross. He took our sin and he was punished in our place. And in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. The Bible tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ. The Living Bible says God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sin. And then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Are you getting the picture here this morning? Jesus paid an awesome price for us, family. He came to the earth. He lived a life of absolute obedience and sacrifice. He was perfect. He was without sin. And then he was betrayed by those he created. He was beaten. He was flogged. This was depicted in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, where Jesus was stripped naked and two Roman soldiers whipped him with whips that had leather strips and had pieces of metal. It was called a cat of nine tails, had bone and metal attached. It would strip the skin off of your back. Most people would die just from the flogging. After Jesus was flogged 39 times, then he was crucified, which was a criminal's death. They nailed him with 6-inch spikes through his hands and through his feet to a wooden cross. Jesus suffered this agony for you and for me. He took the sin of all mankind. He took our judgment. He took our punishment. And then he went to hell in our place. The Bible says in Matthew 12 verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said he was going to be in the heart of earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Peter preached about it in Acts chapter 2 verse 27. It says, you will not leave my soul in hell or let the body of your holy Son decay. You will give me back my life and give me wonderful joy in your presence. Dear brothers, think David wasn't referring to himself when he spoke these words. David wasn't talking about himself. I have quoted, for he died, he was buried, his tomb is still here among us today. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an unbreakable oath that one of David's own descendants would be the Messiah and sit on David's throne. And David was looking far into the future, and he was predicting the Messiah's resurrection. And he was saying that the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell, and his body would not decay. Do you know that Jesus went to hell for you and me? For you and me, he went in our place as our substitute. He suffered in hell for you and I. But thank God he conquered hell and he conquered death and he conquered the enemy. And after 3 days, he rose triumphant from the grave. And he said in Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he who lives and I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell, Hades. I have the keys of death. I've got back that authority that was taken away. I've risen from the dead. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you go in my name. You cast out the devil. You lay hands on the sick. Are you with me? Jesus triumphed over the devil for you and me. In Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And the New Living Translation said that he shamed them publicly by his victory over them at the cross. And the Living Bible says, God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were taken away. And the Message Bible says he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. And the Passion Bible says Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner. Let me tell you that I can preach all day on that one verse, because the term triumphed over is talking about when a Roman general would conquer an enemy, they would triumph over the enemy, which meant they would march the enemy through the streets bound in chains behind his army through the streets of Rome, and all the citizens of Rome would come and watch and cheer as the Roman general triumphed over the enemy. That's what Jesus did to our enemy, family. Jesus went into hell because of our sin. He took our place. He took our punishment. But after 3 days, God said, it is enough. The price has been paid, and the Holy Spirit descended into the portals of hell, and Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, and he went over, he put his foot on the devil's head. He said, here I am, man, though I come to crush your head. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He said, I told you, devil, I'd be back to redeem my people. You are forever defeated. And Jesus stripped him of all his authority, and he led the devil and demons in a triumphant procession through the streets of hell while all the saints were rejoicing and watching Jesus' triumphant victory over the enemy. Then Jesus rose from the dead. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go, and in my name, man, you're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to do the things I've done. You resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. The enemy is now under your feet. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the power of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus conquered the enemy. He conquered death. He brought us back into a right relationship with God. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He delivered us from sin and sickness and poverty. He gave us back the authority that God created us to have. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 in verse 17, death once held us in its grip by the blunder of one man. Death reigned as a king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also by one man's obedience opened the door for man to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. Praise God. That is the power of his resurrection, family. Jesus conquered the enemy for us. He gave us authority over him. We can now reign as kings in life through Jesus Christ. A victorious life is available to everybody through Jesus. Do you know that Jesus' resurrection was not for himself? Do you know that Jesus' resurrection was for us? That's the power of his resurrection. Jesus didn't raise from the dead because that's what he needed. No, Jesus was raised from the dead because it was for us, because we were raised from death to life. We now are able to come from being spiritually dead and separated from God to being forgiven and being brought back into fellowship with God, being brought back into life, being born again, full of the life of God, new creations, right standing with God. That's the power of his resurrection. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only way to be right with God. He himself said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's just how easy God has made it for you to receive the resurrection power, for you to receive this new life, for you to receive forgiveness. It's just so easy. All you got to do is believe that Jesus rose from the dead and confess him to be the Lord of your life. And the Bible says you will be saved. How many people done that? How many people done that? Wave at me if you've done that. What happens when you receive Jesus? You are born again. You become a brand new person. God recreates your heart. You cleanse from all sin. You made righteous in God's sight. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know that you cannot enter into heaven without being born again? And do you know how you get born again? You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. That's how you get born again. That's how you become a child of God. You must be born again. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, the first one to come from spiritual death and separation with God and be brought back into right standing with God. Jesus was the first one that he ever experienced that. But let me tell you, there have been millions of others since then who've experienced the same thing. And you too can be born again, and you can be made alive. A victorious life is available to you as well. Easter is about celebrating Jesus, who came to the earth to save us, who paid an awesome price, who gave his life for us. Amen. He suffered for us. He rose from the dead. What should our response be to all that Jesus has done for us? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, he died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might no longer live for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose from them. What should our response be? Our response is, I no longer live now for myself, but I'm living now to please Christ. The Passion Bible says that so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. See, we now must live to please Jesus. And how do we do that? How do I do that, Pastor Steve? Well, read on. The next verse 18, same chapter. It says we no longer live to please ourselves, but we live to please him. And verse 18 says, God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. And this is the wonderful message that he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassador. Say, I'm Christ's ambassador. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, receive the love he offers you. We beg you to receive the love of God. Be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One, and we carry the message of Christ to the world. You see, the way that you please God is by sharing his message, by speaking for him, by sharing the greatest story ever told with other people and urging them to receive Jesus in their life like you have received him. Amen. Amen. See, when you read the book of Acts, family, you see them boldly proclaiming the gospel everywhere they go. In fact, even when the religious leaders arrested them and demanded them to stop, they preached on even more. In Acts 5:28, we gave you strict orders. The religious leaders called in the apostles, and they said, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Instead, you filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him. And Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. We must obey God rather than any human authority. I'm so tired of hearing people quote Romans chapter 13, which says, everyone one must be submit to their governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. I'm so tired of people quoting that to me, because yes, we follow the laws of our country. Unless those laws violate the word of God, then we submit to the authority of God's word. Listen, I've got to tell you that the word of God is a higher authority than any law in the land. I don't care what law they pass. The day they tell me you can't preach the gospel is the day Stevie is going to be arrested and taken to jail, because I ain't obeying any human authority. I'm obeying God. And you say, Pastor Steve, that'll never happen. What are you talking about? What has happened the last year around the world? Churches closed around the world because somebody told them they can't meet. Some government authority said they can't meet. Can you imagine the book of Acts closing down the church because the governor said you can't have? They said, man, we're going to obey God. We're going to obey God rather than obey you. Let me tell you, if the early church had followed Romans chapter 13 like some people interpret it today, none of the apostles would have been arrested, imprisoned, or martyred. None of them would have been killed, because they would have just done what the government told them to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never been thrown in a burning fiery furnace. Daniel would have never been thrown in the lion's den. If they just obeyed Romans chapter 13 and done what the governors and the human authorities were telling them to do. Let me tell you, the devil shut down 93% of the churches in the United States with Romans chapter 13. And yet, I am not disobeying the law in any way. Because let me tell you right now, the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, is that we have a right to gather. In actual fact, shutting down churches is illegal. I can't believe all the pastors that went along with it. I can't believe all the people went along with it. We never shut down one Sunday. I would come here, there'd be the Washington Post, the New York Times, all kind of reporters want to ask me, why aren't you closing down? I said, the day you close down Walmart, we'll close down, okay? If they can go to Walmart and Home Depot, we are going to keep having church. Let me tell you, the early church, they kept preaching even if it meant the threat of arrest. They filled Jerusalem with their teaching about Jesus. Is that happening now in Jupiter, West Palm Beach, Stuart, Port St. Lucie? Do people surrounding our church say you're filling up the city with that teaching? Let me tell you, as soon as the Apostle Paul came to Christ, after he persecuted the church, he was one of the worst persecutors of the church there was. But the moment that he came to Christ, the Bible says in Acts 9, verse 20, within the hour, he was in the synagogues preaching about Jesus and proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. Within an hour of getting receiving Jesus, he was out there preaching about Jesus. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. I'm thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first and then people everywhere. I refuse to be ashamed of preaching the gospel. The Message Bible says, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in Him. Paul is bold, man. Paul is confident. He's proclaiming the gospel. Many Christians today are more concerned about offending people than they are about them going to hell. Some people think it's too confrontational. You should make friends with someone for about 10 years. And if you get the chance, maybe one day, to mention something about Jesus without being offensive in any way. Let me tell you, yes, we should be loving. And yes, we should be kind. And yes, we should be friends with sinners like Jesus was. And we must do all we can to display the love of God. The Bible says that's how they'll know you're my disciples. But sharing the gospel is what saves people. It's the message of the gospel that brings people to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, don't hide your light, let it shine brightly before others. Say, I'm not hiding my light anymore, baby. I'm letting it shine brightly. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 8, he said, never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. It is He who saved us and chose us for this holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan long before the world began, to show His love and kindness to us through Christ. Let me tell you, God has saved you, God has chose you, and God has called you to spread the good news of the gospel everywhere you go. There are over 7 billion people living on the world today, and the majority of them are headed for hell. I'll say it again. There are over 7 billion people living on the world today, and the majority of them are headed for hell. How do I know that? I know that because Jesus said that. In Matthew 7, verse 13, he said, heaven can only be entered through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. And it says nearly everyone, the Passion Bible says nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. Can I tell you, the highway to hell is like a traffic jam. It's like the 95 at peak hour traffic, the highway to hell. But verse 14 says, but the gateway to life is small and the road is narrow and only a few ever find it. The majority of people are headed to hell. Only a few people have found the narrow way that leads to life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And God has called us to proclaim this good news. How will people find out if we don't tell them? Let me tell you, God's going to hold us responsible if we don't reach out to the people around us. I'm talking to Christians now. The Bible says in Ezekiel 3, verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Do you know that we are responsible to reach out to people around us? Say amen, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, that's in the Old Testament. We don't live under the Old Testament. Well, how about some New Testament then? Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul himself. He said Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed him, when they insulted him, he shook the dust from his clothes. He said, your blood is upon your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I go to preach to the Gentiles. You see, my job is to tell people the good news. What they do with it, that's on them. My responsibility is to simply carry the message. Your responsibility is carry the message. We're responsible to share the gospel with people around us. And let me tell you, people are ready to be saved. Jesus said in John 4, verse 35, look at all the people around you. Now is harvest time, for their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain. They are ready for a spiritual harvest. Can I tell you, people are ready to receive Jesus. Sharing the gospel and bringing other people to Jesus is the most worthwhile thing you can do in this life. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20, 24, the Apostle Paul said, my life is worth nothing. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul said, my life is not worth anything unless I use it to do the work God called me to do, which is what? To tell other people the wonderful message about Jesus. Paul was so consumed by this, and we must be consumed by this. Paul said in Colossians 1:28, everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. I work very hard at this, and I depend on Christ's mighty power that works in me. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, he told him, work hard at telling others the good news. Work hard at telling others the good news. In Romans 1, verse 9, Paul said, God, whom I so love to worship and serve by spreading the good news of his son. Do you know that when you spread the good news of Jesus, that's serving the Lord. That's worshiping God. If you're not spreading the good news, are you really serving the Lord? Because Paul said, I serve him by spreading the good news everywhere that I go. We don't have time to waste, family. Every day people are dying. They're headed into an eternity. In Ephesians 5, verse 11, it says, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. Watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. The Passion Bible says, take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for His purpose. I don't know about you, but I want to take advantage of every day fulfilling God's purpose and God's destiny and living to please Him. How about you? We don't have time to waste. Let me tell you, it's the right time to share the gospel with people. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Can you say amen? Today is the day for people to be saved. Let's proclaim the good news. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. The power of his resurrection. Jesus came to the earth and gave his life to redeem you and to redeem me. Do you receive this today? Amen. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? Why don't you just bow your head, close your eyes. Thank you, Kelly. I want to ask everyone to bow their head. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But let me tell you, on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, I want to pray. If there's anyone here this morning that says, Pastor Steve, please, won't you pray for me? I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Every person in here this morning, I'm talking to you. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt, you're absolutely positive, if you died today, you know you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, can you say for sure that if you died today, that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. You can be sure of that. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, while eyes are closed, while heads are bowed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you quickly and simply just to lift your hand up high, just to slip your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Just put it up high. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Include me. You see anybody's hands raised? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands being raised. That's it. Thank you. It'll never be easier. You are among people that love you. We care about you. If you're not sure what would happen to you if you died today, please lift your hand up and let me pray. I'm going to ask everyone who lifted up your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. As we read earlier, Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want to ask everyone to raise your hand. In fact, everyone together, even watching this online, say this with me today. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I repent today. I confess. Come on, say, I confess. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen, everybody? Give God thanks and praise. If you raised your hand in that to say that prayer, I want to ask you, when we close the service a few minutes from now, just remain seated where you are. We've got a gift we want to give you before you go home. If you raise your hand, just remain where you are when we close, because we have one of our volunteer servant leaders are going to come over to you. They saw you lift your hand. They're going to bring you a gift before you go home. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you were here today.
I'm so glad.
Thank God for the power of Jesus' resurrection.
What a message. What a message. Praise God. That's the gospel from beginning to end. Amen. I love it. I love it. Well, family, before we go this morning, This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. We want to thank everyone who gives online every week, people who give recurring gifts. To those that are watching online, it's real simple. You can just go ahead and click on the ascendchurch.us. You can click on that link and you're able to give. For those sitting here, there are envelopes in the seats in front of you. You know, churches all over are, thanks Mo, churches all over are declaring today the story about God's generosity, God's generous gift to us. That's the good, Easter's about the good news of the gospel, right? God giving his one and only son and Jesus giving his life so that we may have life. That's what Easter's all about. And so we give because God gave. That's the same heart. I'm going to read you two verses this morning. The first one being John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave," right? It says in the Message translation, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." So the reason is because he loves us. That's the reason for him giving his one and only son. Amen. It's a verse that many of us are familiar with. Maybe you learned it in Sunday school, but it reveals the generous heart of God towards us. And then the second verse I want to read you is Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, "Just as the Son of Man came not to be waited on, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many, the price he paid to set them free." So just we see God willingly giving his son, motivated by love, and then we see Jesus willingly giving his life, motivated by love. And the reality is we give because we love God. We give knowing how grateful we are. We are generous because we love him. Amen. Those two are linked together. So as you come to give today, thank you for your generosity. It is about spreading the gospel, just like Pastor Steve said. The more people we're able to reach, I thank God that we're able to, Pastor Steve said, I will not go back on TV unless I'm on a network channel. And then the door opened for us to be on Fox 29 on a Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. Do you know how many people that reaches that don't come to church? That you know, we reach people who come to church, but what about people who don't come to church? They don't know that they need Jesus. And so this message today will be on TV probably next Sunday, and people lying in their beds, sitting in their house, totally unaware, are going to have the message of the gospel preached to them. That's what your giving enables us to do. It enables us to spread the gospel. So thank you for your generosity today. Go ahead and use those different ways to give. They're up on the screen. I want to just mention one thing to those of our givers. You would have received, it's just a little business side of things, but I know it's coming up to, submitting your taxes and what have you. And what we've tried to change things in order to give you your giving statements digitally and give you access at any time. You can go in and just download, print out, whatever, all your giving statements. And so in order to do that, there's a few teething issues. So we sent out an email this week to you, and it says attached, to view your giving statements, click on this link. And if you click on that link and you have any issues with logging in, the first time it's a little bit of a login, and then after that it's real simple. If you have any issues, please contact Monique at the office. It'll come up. You can talk to there. The picture's up. That's Mo. Oh, just shout to her. No. Let me say, respond to the email you got, or respond to the text you got.
Yes.
And we will handle so we, that. We'll give you a lead.
We sent an email to everyone with your giving statement. You clicked on the link.
Yes.
Then I sent a text to everybody on our text, 313131313131, that one. I sent you a text and I said, if you didn't get the email, please reply. And I had a few replies. So now we're doing everything we can. If we need your help. If you did not get that email, you need to contact us. We'll make sure you get it. We make sure all the email addresses are right so that from now on, you can access your giving statements just with a click of a button. Yeah, so that's what we are asking for you to help. Then, before we go home today, I want to mention that we are having a special Wednesday service on April 14th. We're going to have double feature Wednesday. I'm going to be preaching two sermons on the Wednesday night, two 30-minute sermons. We'll start at 7. We won't do any announcements or any preliminaries. We get right into preaching. I'll be filming it for television, and I want to ask you to come and support it. That's on Wednesday night, April the 14th, double feature. I'm going to preach on how to live in faith instead of fear, and I'm going to preach on how to experience supernatural restoration in your life. Have you suffered any loss last year? God wants to supernaturally restore you. Wednesday, April 14th, double feature Wednesday. And then finally, before we go home today, don't forget, we got a photo op set up out in the lobby. We tested it out yesterday. I don't know if they got the picture up there, but they got it. There we go. Go and get your photo taken out there in the lobby, the photo op. Happy Resurrection Day. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome week, everybody.
Yeah, you call my name.
How are you? Good to see you.
Happy Resurrection!